So if you have your Bibles, please keep them open at Psalm 146 as we look at this tonight. Over the past number of months, there have been people who have been receiving praise for what they have been doing during this pandemic in particular. We think of the NHS staff, those in the front line, who have been getting great praise as flags have been put up, people have been out in the streets clapping and all the rest. There's been widespread praise for those who have gone above and beyond in what they were doing to help others. I think, though, we're very often quick to complain about things, but we do have that desire within us to praise people, and especially when things are done well. We want to have a focus for our praise, whether it's for someone helping others, or whether it's for someone in a position of power, or maybe even for your favorite footballer scoring a goal yesterday. I was very pleased as Newcastle won their opening league game yesterday. So we have praise for many different people. We love to praise, we love to cheer, we love to celebrate for what people have done. But sadly, that praise for people will not last forever. The clapping fades out, the singing maybe becomes a moan, and the celebrations can turn to frustration. Because no matter how great any person or any team is, they can't sustain that forever. All good things must come to an end when we praise and put our trust in that which is human. But hopefully we'll see in this passage tonight that there's someone who we can always trust and always praise, who will never let us down, someone who's faithful to the end. And it is the Lord who we have gathered to worship and praise tonight. And it's my prayer that as we have gathered here to celebrate him and to praise him tonight, that we would be reminded of who he is and what he has done for us in Christ. Psalm 146 is the first of five psalms of praise just at the very end of the book. They're very clearly songs of praise because you'll notice at the start and at the end they have the same phrase. It says, "Praise the Lord." We're not told who wrote this psalm or the particular circumstance it's referring to. Could speak of many situations in the life of a follower of one of God's people, where he has shown himself to be faithful through the generations, shown himself to be worthy of praise. But in the opening verse, we firstly see someone who is committed to praise. We see here someone who's committed to praise. And this opening phrase here, this opening line, "Praise the Lord," it's written in the plural. It's a call from the writer for the whole congregation to praise the Lord. This isn't some empty statement or some formal liturgy that he's just expected to say. You can imagine maybe someone getting up in that case and maybe a minister calling people to worship, and they get up with a really dour looking face on them and they say, "Well, let us praise God tonight. Let us come with joy." You'd be telling them, "Look, your face isn't saying what you're saying. You're not showing it in your expression." And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the truths that we tell to others. We need to speak them to ourselves. And we need to show that in our life as well. And that's what the psalmist does here, as he's also speaking to himself. Look at what he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." He's not just calling the congregation to praise God, but he's calling on himself also to praise the Lord, "O my soul." He's reminding himself that it's not just others, people out there, who need to do this, but he also must have this priority in his own life. When we think of praise of God, we maybe think that that's something that should come naturally to us as people. Since we're made in the image of God, we should maybe think, well, that should be a natural thing. But since the fall, and since each one of us have sin in our life and we've been tainted with sin, our natural reaction to God is to not praise him rather than praise him. In fact, we tend to praise anything other than God so often. See, it is only when Christ intervenes in our life and we receive forgiveness of our sin and we have that new life that we are able to praise God. In my own Bible reading this week, the notes said this. It was tied in very well with just what we see in this passage.
Listen to what it says. Only those who worship God truly have trusted in Christ. And only those who have trusted in Christ worship him truly. See, as Christians, we worship him truly. But yet we still need to have that daily reminder of our need to praise God. And we see that in verse 2 as the writer makes this great declaration. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Of course, he wouldn't have been able to do that perfectly. And there would have been days when it was a bit of a struggle to praise God, but he has made this commitment to do this all of his days. Not just for a time, not just for a few years, but all of his days. Don't people so often go through many fads in life? They try out the latest trend, or quite often you see that in fashion as you look back over the years. Maybe you've got out the old photo album and you look at pictures of yourself from maybe 20 or 30 years ago. You look at your hairstyle, you look at the clothes you've been wearing, and you think, I'm glad I'm not wearing that nowadays. You wouldn't have committed to those clothes, to that style, for all your days. Something that changes, something that goes with time. You see, this man's praise of God wasn't just a phase that he was going through. It wasn't just something for a season. This wasn't something trivial. This was something that ran much deeper in his life. Because he's not singing praises here to a God or to the God that he heard people talk about at Sunday school, or maybe a God who he made vows before on his wedding day or on their baptism. No, he says, I will sing praises to my God. He addresses him here as my God. This is an intimate, personal relationship because he truly knows the one who he is praising. This is a relationship that's changed, completely changed the course of his life, because his desire is not to praise men or women or princes or rulers or kings or queens or whoever it may be, but to praise the one true and living God all the days of his life. I wonder, do you have that relationship with God today? Can you truly say that you are praising the Lord, that he is my God, that you have that personal, intimate relationship with him, with the God who made the universe, the God who made you and me? But you know, that isn't a relationship that we can just drift into here tonight. It's not a relationship that we can just, by osmosis, come to have. It's not formed by just coming to church. It's not formed by us just deciding to give it a go as a latest trend or fad in our lives. No, you see, our sins separated us from God. We were cut off, and that meant we were in a position where we couldn't praise God. We couldn't truly know him. But thankfully, out of his great love and mercy for us, he provided that way for us to be reconciled. He made it possible for us to know him through his son, Jesus. And if you believe in Christ and in him alone, we receive that new life in him. Our whole being has changed. Our whole outlook on life has changed. Our whole focus has changed as we worship and serve him alone. And so as we wake up each morning, we commit ourselves to praising him, to worshiping him, to live our lives for him. We want to glorify him in all that we do. You might expect that the psalm would go on from that point and tell us reasons as to why we should praise God. And it does from verse 5 on, but before that we have verses 3 and 4, and there's a warning there. And secondly, we're concerned about where we put our trust. We see that we're concerned about where we put our trust. People try to gain our trust in all avenues of life. We see at the minute in the United States of America, two men trying to gain the trust of the nation there. One saying, trust me and I will continue to keep America great. And another one saying, trust me and we will make a difference. We will make a better America. Or maybe you think about the car salesperson who's getting you to trust them so you'll buy that new car. Full service history. It's a genuine car with one lady owner from New. Or maybe you're listening to that financial advisor who tells you to trust her with your investments. Invest in me and you will get a great return, so much better than what you can even imagine. We put our trust in people every day. And of course, we need to have that element of trust for society to function. But we all know that presidents and governments will fall short of the greatness they promise. The car might not seem so genuine when it's broken down at the side of the road, or that investment might not seem like a real good deal whenever it has lost you money. Look at verse 3, it says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save." When it talks about princes here, it's not referring to William or Harry, but to those in a position of power and influence. Think about how our nation is trusting the government and the scientists throughout this pandemic, trusting whether 2 meters is an adequate distance for social distancing, or whether masks will make a difference or not. We'll not debate that tonight. But so many people are entrusting their lives into the hands of what these people say. Of course, in line with God's word, and as we prayed, we submit to authorities. We abide by the law of the land where we can, even if it does change from one week to the next. But where is our hope through all of this? Psalm is telling us here not to trust your life into the hands of mere people, because they can't save you. They'll not bring salvation. They can come up with all these theories of how to achieve a certain outcome. They can have a 10-step plan to get you there. But verse 4 says, "When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that day, their plans perish." They may not even get past step 1 on that agenda, because like any human being, we don't know when we will take our last breath. And there is this sense of how fleeting our lives are here, that these great plans can come to nothing in an instant as our bodies are returned to the earth and to the dust that we were formed from. But remember how this psalm started out with a commitment to praise the Lord, our God, our God. And maybe you are praising the Lord as your God tonight. You know that he has saved you in Christ. You know that he is the eternal God, who, the only one who could save you from death and that punishment. But even though that may be true in your life and my life, how often do we tend to misplace that hope and that trust when we look to things that are temporary, those things around us in the world, for a way out of the situation that we're in? Our praise is so often diluted because instead of looking to him, we look to princes. In a time of national crisis, we look to government ministers for making the right decision at the right time. In a time of financial difficulty, we trust in the interest rate, or we trust in the bank manager who's going to give us that loan. In a time of serious illness, we trust in the surgeon's skills or the drugs that the pharmacist will give you. Of course, we thank God for such people and for the gifts that he has given them, but we don't entrust our lives into their hands to save us, because ultimately they don't have the power to save. As Proverbs 3 says, some of my favorite verses in the Bible, in 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." We trust in the Lord, not in human rulers. We trust in the one who will never fail us or let us down, the one who is worthy of our praise. And from verse 5 on, we have many of the reasons why we can praise him. We have this contrast between the human rulers and the ultimate ruler. And we see here the blessings of trusting in the covenant God. As I was preparing this sermon, I was looking out the window, and one moment it was lashing down with rain. The next minute it was dry, the next minute the rain was on again. It's just one of those days, and so often we get weather like that in North Antrim, where we can't really tell what it's going to be like. It's unpredictable, it's changeable. But the psalmist is showing that our trust in God is not like the changeable weather, or like changeable human rulers who can change their minds just as quickly. No, he makes clear that there is no one like God. He is the only one who can bring true blessing to our lives. Look at what verses 5 and 6 say. "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. As he refers here to the God of Jacob, the writer is reminded of the same God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of the patriarchs, that this is the covenant God who entered into that relationship with them, who made those great promises of blessing for the nations through that seed of Abraham. And they continue to trust in him by faith. He focuses here on God's faithfulness, knowing that just as God kept every promise in the past, he would continue to do so in the future forever. Because God isn't like any earthly king or queen or prime minister who have a limited power for a certain period of time. No, this is the almighty, all-powerful, eternal God who made heaven and earth and all that is in them. In Genesis, we read of how he made everything out of nothing just with a word. That's how powerful he is, that he could speak everything into being. There is no earthly ruler who comes anywhere close to being like God. What a great blessing it is to have our hope and trust firmly in this God, this unchanging God, the God of all creation, knowing that he is our help. He is the one who is with his people today, just as he was throughout history. And in verses 7 to 10, we're told of those ways in which God blesses his people. And it gives us so much reason to praise here. Where those false rulers, those earthly rulers would bring oppression or false imprisonment, or where they fail to provide for the needs of people, for the hungry, for the widow, for the orphan. Don't we see so much of that as we look at the news or across the world? So many needs not being met, so many who are being abused and persecuted. We can't say the same of God, because he brings justice for the oppressed. He brings food to the hungry and sets prisoners free. He opens the blind eyes. He lifts up those who are weighed down with burdens. He cares for the most vulnerable. And he always does what is right. And as we read through that list there, we could think of plenty of examples in the Old Testament of how God has shown his faithfulness to his people in these ways. But as I read through these verses and as I think about them, it draws my mind to Christ and how he displayed these perfectly in his life. In Luke 4, when Jesus was speaking, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So we're talking about trust here. How do we know that we can trust God in these things? Well, we look to his Son, the Lord Jesus, who came to live on this earth, who showed himself to be faithful and trustworthy in every part of his life. He looked out for the physical needs of others. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick and the poor. He came to welcome little children and those who were the outcasts in society. But his life was about so much more than just looking at the physical needs of those around him. It was more than just physically opening blind eyes, because Christ gave spiritual sight to those who were spiritually blind, showing people who he is and their need for him. You maybe think tonight that you don't need Christ, you don't need to be saved by him, you think this doesn't really apply to you. You're not spiritually blind, you're not too bad. You haven't done much wrong in your life, you've lived a decent enough life. You come to church, you're all right. But the Bible makes clear that each one of us, every one of us, were captive to sin. We were bound by it, chained to it. We couldn't break free. There's nothing that we could do. We've been weighed down by that sin. It's a burden on our back, just weighing us down. We're blinded to the truth of who God is and our need of rescue by him. We're unable to see that our trust in human rulers and trust even in ourselves is foolishness, because continuing in that way will not end well. It doesn't have a good outcome. Look at verse 9. It says, "The way of the wicked he brings to ruin." In the end, God will bring justice He will bring justice against those who oppose him and sin against him, who continue in that way. There will be a day of judgment. And if you're not trusting in God's deliverer and Jesus Christ, then you will face those eternal consequences. But tonight, folks, we can praise and thank God. Because on the cross, Jesus took that punishment in our place. He was our substitute. He took on our sin and the punishment that we were due. He faced the wrath of God. He faced that wrath against sin as he dealt with it completely and finally. And so if we trust in Jesus and what he has done, rather than trusting in princes, rather than trusting in any sort of human ruler or even our own ability, if we are trusting in Christ tonight, we can truly rejoice. We can rejoice because we know he has saved us from death and he has given us eternal life. And we see that eternal aspect in the last verse here, in verse 10, because it says the Lord will reign forever. And we're given that final call to praise the Lord. I wonder, are you able to praise the Lord truly tonight? Not only as we have gathered for this time of worship in this church building, but are you able to truly praise him every day of your life and for all eternity? Because your trust tonight is not in rulers and princes of this world. Your hope is not in a government. Your hope is not in a surgeon or a bank manager. But your trust tonight is in Christ alone. He is our only hope. Do you have that hope tonight that he has saved you, that he has given you that new life? Your whole life has been changed around, and you praise him from the bottom of your heart, and you join with this writer of this psalm, and you can say these words of verse 1 and 2, praise the Lord, O my soul. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that I will praise the Lord as long as I live? I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Is that your commitment tonight, to praise the Lord all your days? Can you truly say tonight that he is your God and that you will seek to glorify him with everything in your life as you live a life of praise and worship of your Savior? Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can praise you tonight, not because of our own effort or because of anything we have done to merit that hearing with you. But we can praise you tonight because of Christ, because he has done that great work in our lives if we are trusting in him. He has brought about that new heart. He has brought about that change where our lives are in complete adoration of you. Lord, may each one truly know what it is to praise you tonight, to live that life that has been completely changed by Christ. Lord, may we seek to honor you in all we say and do in this week. May we seek to live out that life of praise. May we seek to be an example of that to others, that others might come and see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Christ alone. We pray this in his name. Amen.